Dominic Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. You heard Ian's update. The Predators are loading up. They are spending the money. Stamkos, Shea, Marchessault, Carrier, Soros, Wedgewood. They are loading up in free agency this year. They had all that cap space. Last year, we wondered at the trade deadline, they're going to use all this cap space to take on a bad contract to get future assets. And Barry said, nah, didn't want to use it there. Didn't feel like a... He came on the show last Monday, and to his credit, I said, you know, it sounds like you guys are in the mix for a lot of these big names. Would you say there's any accuracy to that? And he said, yeah, I'd say that's true. And on day one of free agency, they've been making a bunch of splashes. Now, I interpret the moves they made today as their way of saying that with a core of Josi, Forsberg, Soros, O'Reilly, Shea, Stamkos, Marchessault, and Evangelista, we think we can win a cup. Now, that's not me saying that I think they can win a cup. That's them saying, we think this might be good enough to win a cup. So today, when I talked about when all the news started dropping and I tweeted out, who can't wait for the season to start? Who can't wait for 2 o'clock today? People started tweeting and saying, oh, the Titans spend in free agency and you rip that apart, but the Predators spend in free agency and you're just all gaga about that. But I think there's one massive difference between the two. First off, I don't think I'm completely gaga about it. I mean, I am aware of the fact that Steven Stamkos is going to be 34 years old. I understand you're not signing the 2017 version of Steven Stamkos because you undershot it by about $4 million, if that's the case. But there is a massive difference between the two. And the difference is, when it comes to the Predators, they say they're going to do something with Barry Trotz running the team. They say they're going to do something, and then they go do it. Barry Trotz came on the show, and he told us multiple times he's keeping Soros. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not sure I like the idea of signing Soros for another 9 years on his contract. But they've said, no, our plan is he's the goalie. They're going to give him trade protection on the front end. It's going to be less liberal. It's going to be more liberal on the back end so that they can make a move. It's going to be less, you know, handcuffing. And they're going to try to develop Askarov and maybe turn it over to him one day or try to trade Askarov. But they tell you that. We looked at the Predators and we said, you know, what's the problem with the Predators? They need more scoring. They went out, they go get Stamkos and Marchessault. We said, well, they need another top pair defenseman. They go out and they sign Brady Shea. The Titans spent $8 million on a running back. There was an unnamed executive in The Athletic that said, hey, look at Carolina. And again, we're talking about Carolina and that, not the Hurricanes. That's a well-run organization. We're talking about the Panthers. And you're saying, you know, look at Carolina. This is what an unnamed executive told The Athletic. Look at Carolina. That's a plan. They spent all their money up front. They said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to. The Titans, they're just signing 29-year-old receivers and $8 million running backs and just, you know. I think they said bad business is what they said. Now, I'm not saying it's bad business. But I think what the Titans did was the Titans went into free agency and they just threw a bunch of money in the air. They had a plan, and when the plan didn't work out, they turned around and said, okay, well, we'll just go draft, we'll just sign Calvin Ridley. And I know that because they've said that's what happened. Well, we didn't think we were going to sign Calvin Ridley, and then we missed on other guys, so we just decided to sign Calvin Ridley. And with the Titans, no matter how many guys they sign, I don't think we can look at this team today and say, yeah, that team's good. That team is a competitor. That team is going to make the playoffs. That team. I can look at the Predators today and tell you this team is a competitor in the Western Conference. They have the goaltending to compete. They have the defense to compete. And clearly, they upgraded their biggest weakness, which was the fact that they didn't have a second scoring line last year. It was all Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist. Now, I don't love doing this. Like, I don't love just comparing hockey and football because it's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison. But the Titans still don't have a right tackle. I don't know how many times I have to talk about this for you guys to understand that it was a big deal last year and it was a big deal the year before that, and it'll be fine. But they don't have a right tackle. With the Predators, it's like, okay, is Fabro better to put on the first pair with Yossi than Carrier? And then you leave Carrier with Lazan, but they're all NHL caliber defensemen. We're talking about right now, looking at the lineup, Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist are going to be on the team. Stamkos, Novak, and Marchessault are all going to be on the team. Jankowski, Sissons, Evangelista, McCarron, and Smith all going to be on the team. That leaves one spot that's open for about nine guys. Like, there's a difference there. When I look at what the Predators are doing right now, and again, I don't think the Predators have guaranteed themselves anything. And Stamkos is older. And Marchessault is older. And Brady Shea's 30. I don't think they've guaranteed themselves a cup or anything like that. I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. I just think that the Predators would have won the Vancouver series with the team that they have today. That's the only difference. If you beat Vancouver, you play Edmonton. I don't know if the Predators would have beat Edmonton. I would lean towards probably not. But when I look at what the Predators are doing today, it actually makes me think a lot of what the Texans did this offseason. And I think the Texans absolutely built a Super Bowl contender this offseason. They feel good about their quarterback. They kept their tight end, who's a solid player. They went out and added Stephon Diggs. And Stephon Diggs does, like Stamkos, have some baggage, right? In the case of Stamkos, it's that he's going to be 34 years old and Tampa Bay thinks he's declined. And I think he was something like minus 21 last year when he's been a plus player his entire career. There's the decline you worry about. With Diggs, there's the crazy that you have to worry about. But again, Diggs can still go out there and get you 1,300 yards, and Stamkos scored 40 goals last year. Then there's the signings of Danico Autry and Azeez Al-Shaair, and it's like, yeah, they looked at their team and they said, you know what, we need more on the defense, so let's go get Danico Autry. The Texans are building to compete today, knowing that when these deals are up, when their Danico Autry contract's up, their Stephon Diggs contract's up, they'll try to have a young guy move into that spot. The Titans, to me, they just threw a bunch of money out there, and they're going to hope the quarterback works out. And I hope it works out for them. I do. But when you sit there and you say, oh, well, we can't get excited about the Titans and the spending of the money they have, but you're excited about the Predators. But no. I see a plan when it comes to the Predators. When the Titans signed Lloyd Cushenberry, I said, I get that. They probably overpaid for what is a mid-center in the NFL. But if you want to get a starting caliber center that checks all the boxes, you're going to have to overpay. They did. Fine. Same with the corners. Got it. Now I'm worried about the one corner's knees because the guy never plays, or at least never practices, and the playing going forward is what was concerned to everybody else. But, I mean, I still don't know who's going to rush the passer this year for the Titans. The Nico's 9.5 sacks walked out the door, and you replaced him with a guy who's made it through one practice.
Just seems like the Titans made a lot of win-now signings when they're not as positioned to win now as the Preds are.
Don't you feel like with the roster they have today, they would have beaten Vancouver?
Well, I think they would have had a... I mean, they were pretty close to beating Vancouver as it was, so... Sure, that's definitely a better chance. You definitely have more scoring options, you know, especially on the power play.
And not only that, the Predators' replacements, like the guys that they've lost, McDonough was a solid player. Now, I think McDonough is probably a little bit more on reputation than he was total game. Now, I know they loved him. You know, the Predators did. But that's really all they lost. Zucker, Bevilier, Tyson Berry, you know, whatever. The Titans lost to Nico Autry and Derrick Henry. Like, those are really, really important pieces. This is, to me, it's a world of difference. Let's get to your phones next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, we'll get to your phones and your YouTube chats as we are basically what happened with our text line, which is down. our text line company is no longer in business as of July 1, and our new text line company has to take 3 business days in order to start after the old text line company. I don't totally understand it. It's a text line company thing, but it is what it is. So we'll read your YouTube chat things, and we'll get to your phones as promised next. 615-737-1025 plus. Stamkos asked about his roller coaster of emotions with Tampa and Nashville. What he said, we'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game. Oh, let's talk Twice Daily. That's right. I love Twice Daily. They are the best. And I absolutely could not tell you how much I go there and how much I love going there. And have you ever wondered why Twice Daily is named Twice Daily? Quite frankly, I think they may have named it after me. Because there's one in my neighborhood in Green Hills, and I go in there in the morning, and I go back in the afternoon, and they've got the made-to-order kiosk, and I love to hit it up. Whether it's a wrap, whether it's the wings, the pizza, the tenders, whatever. They got it right there at the made-to-order kiosk, or I can just put it in my app, get in the car, head on over to Twice Daily, and it's already made. Same with breakfast. They got tons of great things. Those snacks are the real thing. They're made to order. And you can get a huge warm pretzel and dip, 3-piece chicken tender snack, spicy boneless chicken wings, and much more. And, of course, Twice Daily has all of your favorite convenience options as well. And you use the app, you get rewarded. It's great. I can order in-store or on the Twice Daily app, all fresh and tasty, priced just right for your budget. That is Twice Daily.
Describe the emotions of the last couple of days, and particularly last few hours before you came to this this decision, Stephen.
Well, it's been probably as crazy as you can think in terms of just a roller coaster of emotions. Clearly, so much amazing history in Tampa for my family and I, and you know, ultimately trying to work something out there, and you know, fell short, not by by my trying, that's for sure. But once we kind of got past that, you know, we were really open to the opportunity of going somewhere else. And every time we were looking for things that would certainly interest us in the new team, Nashville kept popping up. And so thankful that they had mutual interest and we were able to get something done. And listen, as crazy as it's been the last couple of days and the lack of sleep and the nerves and just that uneasy feeling, once we made that call to Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators that we were coming, that feeling went away and it's just been pure excitement.
Steven Stamkos on TSN earlier today. I got to tell you, I don't want to knock TSN's coverage, but I was watching TSN today, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they went from Kevin Weeks talking about free agency to the women's hockey draft. No disrespect to women's hockey, but I'm not interested in talking about the women's hockey draft today. I'm like, get back to free agency. So then I went to NHL Network. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Owen has been waiting patiently and is up next here on our program. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Owen?
Hey, I just want to know now, after all those free agency signings today, what do you think the biggest weakness is for the Predators now? What holes do they have to fill, and who could we get to fill those? Thanks.
Yeah, I think the biggest hole right now is second-line center. It's because I'm not sold on Tommy Novak. So the first line, you know, the thing about lines, some coaches, it's like you got to get the coach to use a crowbar in order to, you know, change up the lines. And then other coaches change up the lines every 25 minutes. And I actually think Andrew Burnett does a pretty good job of switching things up a little bit, but for the most part, like, wants to keep things somewhat similar. So there's no doubt in my mind that the Predators would probably prefer to go into camp with that first line that was so successful last year of Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist staying together, which makes me think that they're going to put Stamkos and Marchessault on the second line, though that second line may end up being the first line because both guys are capable of scoring 40 goals.
I do wonder the chances of them splitting up the top line.
Well, if they did that, that would be by what? Putting Marchessault on the front line with Forsberg and O'Reilly and then moving Nyquist down to Stamkos' line?
It would be or Stamkos on the first line and moving Nyquist down.
But aren't both Stamkos and Forsberg left wingers?
They are both. Yeah, I'm sure they would be able to figure that out, but it's, I don't know. I just wonder if they would eventually consider breaking up the top line. That's all.
So, and I hear you. I hear you. But I do think that they're going to go into camp You're right. It could be a crit. That's what we'll ask Andrew Burnett at 5 o'clock. You know, what is his original thought process on this?
Sure.
But for me, I'm going to say that's your first line, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, which then says, okay, if Stamkos and Marchessault are on the second line, who's centering it? And Ian's probably right. I personally, if there was a game today, like a meaningful game, I would put Colton Sissons in the second line center position. Even though he's not much of an offensive player, he can win in the dot. I can trust him not to make a mistake. And if I tell him, hey, man, your job is to get the puck to those two guys, he can do it. Now, I don't think he's a skilled distributor, but he can get it done if he has to. And I trust that over what I saw out of Tommy Novak in the Vancouver series, which was a fish out of water, which was when the going gets tough, Tommy Novak is a spectator more than he is a participant. Now, I do think Ian's right. I think they're going to give Novak the first crack at it, and they're going to hope that the talent, because Tommy Novak's got some real offensive talent, their hope is that Novak is going to take that offensive talent, and with the other guys kind of alleviating maybe some of the jam off of him, that he'll maybe come into his own, which would be great. But as of right now, I'm looking at the top six, and I feel good about Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, Stamkos, and Marchessault, and that sixth guy is kind of my biggest question. Defense, I'm not really all that worried about, because Josi is a top-pair defenseman, Shea is a top-pair defenseman, and I think they'll put Carrier back with Josi, and so I think they'll be okay there. And then goaltending, obviously, with Saros, I think they're fine. I think the big weakness is that second-line center position. Who do you put there? That's for me. On the YouTube chat, there's a lot of discussion. One person says, I've heard it all now. Jared says the Texans are Super Bowl contenders. And then the guy has the emoji with the hand in the face. I think the Texans are Super Bowl contenders. Ian, do you think the Texans are Super Bowl contenders?
Yeah, I think you have. I mean, probably not in the top tier, but I'd say that's second tier.
I mean, I think they're there with Cincinnati.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what is different between, say, them and Buffalo? You know, Buffalo gets the division round of the playoffs every year.
Well, Stroud's only in his second year.
That is true. Stroud could suck.
The other guys are a little bit more proven at this point.
But I think, I think Houston's legit. I mean, I certainly think the wide receiver position is much better at Houston than it is in Buffalo. Last year, this time of the year, everybody was telling us Jacksonville was going to be really, really good. And I was like, yeah, I don't see it. And now Houston is kind of in the position Jacksonville was in last year. And when it comes to Jacksonville, my argument is I absolutely see it. One person says Tampa Bay's GM, that's Julien Brisebois. Julien Brisebois is not nearly as good as Steve Yzerman. The guy has made a bunch of questionable moves. I did look that up when Brisebois got put in there. It does feel like, Ian, that they won with Iserman's teams. And that...
Yeah, I guess so. You could say that.
The Jeannot move was a bad one, and I thought there was probably going... You know, I thought it was probably going to be bad at the time. And
even the Sergachev deal was almost... He was good, but it's almost like they overpaid because of that run. Oh, the Alexander Carrier is officially done.
Do we know the money on Carrier?
3 years, 11.25 total.
So what is that, like less than four a year, like 3.75?
Yeah, 3.3 is what, to 10? So, yeah, something like that, 3-something.
Okay.
I don't know if 3.75. It's under 4, so. Mm.
And you said it's 3 years?
Correct.
I mean, if he plays on the top pair with Josi, it's worth it. If he plays on the top pair with Josi and Brady Shea, you know, goes into that second pair and they basically split ice time and they put, you know, Stasny with Brady Shea or something like that. But if Carrier ends up anchoring the third pair with Lazan, then I'm not a huge fan of that move. I'm not really a huge fan of that move.
The Carrier extension?
Yeah, I'm not really. I'm not really, I'm just not a fan. But is what it is. So apparently all of these signings are going to drop, and then Barry will take the podium around 4 o'clock, and we will run that live. And then I do believe, and I'm not keeping up exactly with when these guys are going to talk, but when these guys do have their media availabilities.
Stamkos will be talking at 5 o'clock today.
Stamkos will be at 5?
Via Zoom.
Okay, so then what we'll do is we'll talk to Brunette at 5, and then we'll, you know, run.
See what we can get of the Stamkos.
Right.
Yep.
Whatever Stamkos says, if he says anything crazy. You know, I already heard his interview with TSN, in which he basically, I mean, Stamkos did that interview like a pro. There was actually, I actually do want to get to this, though, because there is something from the Marcia show and Stamkos interviews on TSN that I actually do think is a big deal. Like, and I do like it. Because they both know it. We'll get to that coming up next. And I do think that this is kind of something that it will motivate them forward, which I do want to get to. 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on the program. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Through all of this, like, what happened? Like, you're the captain, you're Mr. Tampa Bay. What happened?
Yeah, to be completely honest, Army, I found myself asking the same question. And the more people I talk to, you know, everyone seemed to share that same sentiment, which is puzzling and strange. And at the end of the day, there was no question that I was willing to put all that stuff aside to remain a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like I said, my family and I absolutely love playing for that city and playing for the players that are there. It just seemed like maybe not everyone thought that way. And listen, I'm a big boy. I can handle that. We went about doing our business. I thought I played extremely well this year, regardless of the contract distraction, and just, you know, told them at the beginning of the year that it wasn't going to affect my play, and that's something that I was proud of. So, listen, you know, we wanted it to end and retire as a Tampa Bay Lightning. It certainly didn't work out, but at the end of the day, you know, in order to look yourself in the mirror, you have to just be honest with yourself, know your self-worth, know what loyalty and respect means to you, and move on. And that's why it's been so exciting for our family. Once we kind of got over that hump, we kind of zeroed in on a few teams, with Nashville being very high on that list, and just the mutual interest from day one, how aggressive they were, how accommodating they were in terms of any questions or concerns. And it just seemed like a natural fit, and we're so excited.
That was Steven Stamkos on Sportsnet. And it's funny because in that, you know, he's asked, well, what, I mean, you're the captain in Tampa. I mean, what happened with Tampa? And it was like, yeah, you know, I wanted a contract. They didn't offer me a contract. I said I wasn't going to let it affect my play. And then they ended up moving on. And, you know, I guess it is what it is. But I'm really excited about Nashville. So he said similar things to TSN when they asked him if he was bitter towards Tampa Bay. And just the beginning of this kind of tells you all you need to know. They asked him about the bitterness towards Tampa. Here's what he said.
You talked about the great memories you'll have, but will there be any tinge of bitterness that the organization didn't try harder to make it happen?
Well, listen, it's such an emotional time right now. I can't lie and say that, you know, really since the beginning of last year when I didn't get an extension, that, you know, you're a human. You have emotions, and you want things to go your way, but that's just your perspective. Everyone else has a different perspective.
So right then and there, when he said, look, I can't lie, yes, I'm bitter. I thought I was a great Tampa Bay Lightning. I think I'm good enough to still be on that team. I think that I'm the captain of that. I think that I'm the reason we won the two cups. I think that I'm the reason I scored 40 goals last year, and I thought I was a team player by not bitching too much about not getting an extension last year. Yeah, I don't like it. Jonathan Marchessault, the Conn Smythe winner when Vegas won the cup, an original Vegas Golden Knight. How did he feel about Vegas? Here's what he said.
You mentioned how this is a tough business and it can be a ruthless business. But so is there hard feelings towards the organization in Vegas because of everything you did and accomplished there, that there wasn't a better offer?
Yeah, obviously it's disappointing, but like I turned the page probably like an hour ago, you know? So yeah, maybe an hour ago I turned the page and I was like, well, this is it. You know, we move on and a new chapter, new challenge for me and my family, and we're excited. So, but yes, at the end of the day, I'll always look back at some of the best time of my life over there. And I mean, I'm pretty satisfied and happy of what we accomplished as an organization. And I did think I was a big part of it. And, they probably thought otherwise for the future. So that's what's disappointing in that story.
He's pissed. My favorite is, but I let that go an hour ago. That's not how life works. You know, when somebody is grieving a relationship, a death, something, somebody will tell you, oh, yeah, hey, just move on. Just let it go. Just let it go. That's not how life works. Both guys looked at their teams as kind of more than just a business. They looked at it like a family. And when they were told, we don't want you back, it hurt both guys. And I like it. Because that tells me that both guys are going to come in here and they are going to have a rocket up their tush because they are mad that they feel like they got disrespected by their teams that they won cups for. You know, the thing that I've learned about Barry Trotz is that if you are not interested in being great, Barry Trotz does not have time for you, and he is not going to waste his time trying to get you to love the game. That's why he's not interested in Joe Hanson and Duchesne, because he's not here to babysit you to try to get you to love playing hockey. So once you've got a reason, you come with your reason, and then they'll coach you up. And that's what he's done. He said, hey, I'll pay you the money. If you can come in here and you can be a professional and you can rub off on everybody else and you can put the puck in the net and you can win draws in your own zone and you can do the important things that it takes to win games, I'll pay you. But you got to meet me halfway. That's why he canceled the Vegas trip. I'm not here to be a chaperone for your vacations. We're here to win games. And so when it comes to picking the right guys in free agency, it has to be guys that are talented enough to get the job done. And it has to be guys that are motivated enough to get the job done. Once Ryan Johansson signed for that big contract, and I mean this with all due respect, hockey didn't matter to him. He told the coaching staff hockey wasn't his life. Like, it just didn't matter enough to him. And some of us will say, well, hey, you know, we all have lives outside of the game. Now, Jared, you have a life outside of the radio station. You're right, I do. But I don't think anybody would ever say, you know, hey, Jared doesn't bring it when he comes on the air every day, or it's not a priority to Jared every day. Of course you wouldn't say that. And that's when it comes to the Predators. I mean, Barry Trotz is not going to waste his time trying to get you motivated. But in the case of both guys, I mean, they've got rods up their rear end that they're on a mission to prove because they feel completely disrespected by their last team. And I love that. I freaking love it. Going back to your YouTube chat, honest to God, I miss the text. I am honestly starting to hate the YouTube chat. And I'll tell you why. Because the people are talking to each other on this. And so now it's all just complaining about, you know, the other station. And get that out of there. I don't care about that. I care about the actual sports stuff. But a lot of people do like the show, which I do appreciate you guys saying in here as far as that's concerned. Somebody in the YouTube chat goes, Jared, what do you think will happen with Askarov? I know you mentioned splitting time with Wedgwood, but losing a Russian teammate and signing Soros doesn't look great for Askarov. Who is the Russian teammate that they lost?
Igor Afanasyev.
Oh, who cares?
They were buddies.
So?
I'm just saying what the texter, YouTuber, whatever is talking about.
Whatever. Okay, so here's the deal with Askarov, because I do think a lot of people are going to ask this. And I think Trotz is going to be asked this when he talks at 4 o'clock. I believe that everything that's been reported is true. Like, I believe that when Barry Trotz told Alex Doherty at the Tennessean that he wasn't interested in trading the goalie, I do think that he was somewhat telling the truth. Then I think as soon as Soros got signed, everybody and their grandma in the NHL world looked at it and they said, well, this can't be serious. If you're going to sign Soros to a 9-year extension, which again, it's an 8-year extension, but we're talking about 9 years out, and there's only one goalie, surely the other young goalie is probably not a priority to them anymore, so let's pick up the phone and call. And so then Barry, you know, told Pierre LeBron, because Pierre was the one that reported that the Predators were looking to get in the top five and were willing to deal Askarov in order to get into the top five. And so Barry probably looked at it and said, okay, well, you know, I do have a goalie signed, so let me just go ahead and see what I can get. And nobody was willing to move out of the top five, so they weren't willing to make the move. And then I believe, I want to say it was Elliott. All of these guys are running together now, between Elliott and Pierre and Chris Johnston and Drager. And I want to say it was Elliott reported that the Predators are fine with Askarov the way it is, but they are looking for either a prospect of the same caliber as Askarov, which means your top prospect. So if you are the Anaheim Ducks and you pick up the phone, the Predators aren't going to expect Leo Carlson or the kid they drafted third overall. The Predators are going to expect probably the next best prospect in exchange for Askarov or a ready-made NHL player, i.e. Martin Natchez, in exchange for Askarov. And if they don't get that, and I don't think they will get that, when they don't get that, I do believe that the Predators will keep Askarov down at Milwaukee. They'll have Mitch Korn working with him, trying to get him better every day. They'll have Pekka talking to him, the same thing Pekka told us on the show, which was going to Milwaukee for the third year in a row was the worst feeling in the world. But looking back on it, I wish I could have a crystal ball because I saw how important that third year in Milwaukee was for my career. Well, if Pekka's going to tell us that, you know Pekka is sitting down with Askarov and he's telling him that, saying, hey, no, this is... you know, this is the best thing for you. And Mitch Korn, this is the best thing for you. And they're going to try to build him up and make him as good as possible. And then I do think if they don't get what they want in return, they're going to sit on the asset. And then eventually he'll back up Saros. And then maybe he goes back to Russia. I don't know. But I do think that you guys want an answer of what's going to happen with Askarov. They're going to trade him. Who are they going to trade him for? Here's who they're going to trade him for. But I don't think that they know that yet. Well, they're going to try to develop in the minor leagues. Develop in the minor leagues for what? I don't think they exactly know that yet.
The goalie market's not great. You got to maybe find a team who's not in a necessarily win-now mode and hope that they're looking to kind of build their roster and build a young goalie along with some of their younger core.
What if San Jose says, we want a long-term goalie to go around Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we'll do is we'll give you... and I don't even know who's on that team right now.
Yeah, I don't know, really.
But we'll give you somebody good, you know, or we'll give you a prospect that's a high-level prospect in San Jose system, but is not Macklin Celebrini or Will Smith.
Not top 10 kind of guy.
Then I think that's kind of where the discussion comes in. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones. 615-737-1025, and we'll do it next. Stillman and Company, Barry Trotz at 4 o'clock. The Predators have made the Saros deal official. So that deal is now done. Technically, 8 years, 774, that's done. And then again, Barry Trotz will be available at 4 o'clock. We'll run that live. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, the game.
And Nashville not done yet. Signed Scott Wedgwood as a backup goaltender, so it's going to be UC Saros and Scott Wedgwood as the tandem there.
Which is not insignificant because, of course, Nashville was listening on Yaroslav Askarov weekend long, and the prized first-round pick who had a great year with Milwaukee of the AHL. I spoke with Barry Trotz at the end of draft about Askarov's future, and they said they don't mind keeping him, having him continue to develop, but they will continue to listen on him as far as whether someone steps up in a trade.
There you go. That was TSN, the insiders, talking about the Scott Wedgwood deal. And so here's the deal on the Wedgwood thing. So Wedgwood will be the backup, but he won't be your traditional backup. As in, the way that it worked this past year for the most part was Tuesday, Saros, Thursday, Saros, Saturday, Lankinen. And it kind of felt like it was an every other day kind of thing. Or every other week kind of thing. So it was probably like Saros, Lankinen was kind of how they did it. What I think it's going to be this year is I think it's going to be Tuesday, Saros, Thursday, Saros, Saturday road game, Askarov. And then he goes back down to Milwaukee. And then on Tuesday, it's Soros. And then on Thursday, it's Soros. And then the next Saturday, it's Wedgwood. And then when they have a back-to-back, I think you'll see sometimes where you'll see Wedgwood go behind Soros because it may be a Saturday-Sunday, and on Saturday, Askarov's getting a start at Milwaukee. But I think that unlike last year where it was Soros and Lankanen, I think it's going to be a lot more Soros and Wedgwood slash Askarov than it is going to be Soros and Wedgwood. And that's just my opinion, though. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michigan is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Michigan.
Hey, Stilly. First time, long time. Love the coverage today. Gotta ask a question off the bat before I ask another one. Is this? I know the NHL doesn't move the needle like the NFL does. We can all agree to that. But is this like the most consequential day of Nashville sports, maybe outside of like 2016 Game 6 and the 2000 Super Bowl? Like, I can't think of another one. This has been a big deal today.
No. I think that's a humongous recency bias on your part. I mean, especially you said like Nashville sports. And I mean, like, I feel like the trade the Titans made in order to get the picks that ended up being Jack Conklin and Derrick Henry and Corey Davis and like that trade with the Rams, like, I felt like that was probably a little bit more consequential. It kind of opened an entire Super Bowl window, which I think might be a little different. Michigan, thank you for your call. I mean, I don't even think, like, we talk about consequential, and I think that that's like a pretty, you know, big statement, you know, consequential. I think of consequential, and I think of both good and bad. So, like, I don't think that this, for instance, the Predators spending a bunch of money in free agency, I don't think that that equates to the consequential nature of firing John Robinson. The guy was the general manager for, like, what, 7 years, and you never had a losing record. And with you in first place with an 88% chance to win the division, the owner got a stick up her ass and fired the GM. Like, that is, I mean, and think about what's happened since then, right? The franchise has gone in a totally different direction, and the coach has been fired. And, I mean, now it's not even the same team anymore, and now Derrick Henry's not here. And it's like, that is consequential. You know, that was nuking your own program. Now, was it the right thing to do because maybe you needed to start from scratch? I don't know. But that, to me, was way more consequential than the Predators just going out and signing some free agents. And I'm not saying that I don't think this is big, because I do think this is big. I just think this is big right now, and there are big things that happen all the time. I would even argue that this isn't even the biggest in terms of fan excitement and fan, you know, fan focus as far as July 1 is concerned. I don't think this is as big as the day the Predators signed Matt Duchene, because there was such a buildup to the Predators signing Matt Duchene that when they signed him, it was like they had accomplished something. Now, Adam Vingan tried to warn everybody when he kept saying the stats say Duchene's not that good. Vingan tried to warn everybody. It didn't do anything for anybody, but I mean, I think that there was more of a, we got Duchene, we're going for the cup, with it, nothing stopping us. You know, I think there was more of that than there is today. I think the conversation's been pretty measured today, because even though I do believe, and we'll hear what Barry has to say when he gets up there and he talks about it in 10 minutes, but I do think that the message that I feel like I'm hearing from Barry Trotz is that Barry Trotz thinks that he's going to go contend for the Stanley Cup this year. But I don't feel, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't feel like the fan base is looking at this saying, on to the cup! I think that they're looking at it, and maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe I'm projecting my own feelings onto this, but I think they're looking at it, and they're saying to themselves what I'm saying, which is, I think if you had had these guys on the team last year, you would have won the Vancouver Series. And if you won the Vancouver Series, I don't know if you would have beaten Edmonton. I don't think even with Stamkos and Marchessault and Brady Shea, I don't think you would have been favored to win that series, but I think you would have had a puncher's chance. And if you have a puncher's chance against Edmonton, who went to Game 7 of the Cup Final and lost by an eyelash, then you probably have a puncher's chance against everybody. And that's how I feel about this. But when you ask me, you know, is this like the most consequential, the biggest consequential moment or whatever it may be, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, this is not the same as a moment of making a draft pick between Vince Young and Matt Leinart or Jay Cutler or whatever. And then the other thing, too, is when it comes to the actual quote-unquote consequences, those things will be determined here in the near future when we see whether or not they win, and then does that lead to people getting fired, or does that... Now, I remember very vividly, 5 years ago, it's actually funny the caller brought this up because I thought about this before the show, and then I haven't thought about it until just now. But I was in New York City 5 years ago on July 1st, and the Predators signed Matt Duchene. I was in Nashville on July 1st. I went to New York on July 2nd. And the Predators signed Matt Duchene. And I remember I was doing the show at the ESPN New York studios, and the Rangers had signed the other big target in free agency, Artemi Panarin. Well, look at kind of the trajectory of the two teams based on that signing. Panarin is probably a top six forward in the game right now, and New York is competing for the Cup, and Matt Duchene just signed a second $3 million contract with the Dallas Stars. And it didn't work out, and everybody got fired. And I remember when I was doing the show in New York, and I was sitting there, and we were talking about, you know, now is the pressure on LaViolette. Because even though LaViolette had just an unbelievable amount of success as the coach, it was like, well, now they went out and got Duchene, and now the expectations are PK out, Duchene in, you know. And LaViolette barely made it through the new year. So let's not get too caught up in the moment. Let's not look at, again, this is a very, you know, the Stamkos thing is a big signing. It is a big name. But you also paid $8 million for him. You didn't pay $13. You know, this is, I don't want to say it's Ken Griffey Jr. on the Reds because I'm hoping it's not. But, again, you're paying $8 million, at least as far as I'm concerned. One person says, Jared, does your guarantee now no longer count on Alexander Carrier? Boy, that guarantee, Ian, we have just... followed the roller coaster of that.
Yeah, we're going to have to rescind the guarantee.
I mean, it's wrong. Alexander Carrier's on the team. Like, I was wrong on that one. And I guaranteed it because Chris Mason argued when I said I don't think Carrier is very good. Chris Mason got on here and we argued tooth and nail. And I guarantee said 2 years from now, he will not be on this team. And then Alex Doherty reported last week at the Tennessean that Alexander Carrier wasn't coming back, and I was like, aha! And then yesterday, I was told Carrier was coming back. I added it to my predictions on Twitter. I said, add Carrier re-signing with the Predators to my predictions when I felt strongly that Carrier would be returning. And I guess Carrier's back. I mean, I think Carrier is fine. I think he can do better. Like, I think there's a big difference to me. When I think of, like, what matters to me on defense, there's the, oh, you can just go find somebody that can do that. And that's how I feel about Carrier. Whereas, like, Ekholm, I don't feel like, oh, you just go find somebody to do that. I do think that the signing of Brady Shea is the replacement for Ekholm. So now you get all the picks you got in the Ekholm deal, plus Reed Schaefer, plus now you've got the replacement in Brady Shea. Okay, Barry Trotz to the podium next. What he has got to say about all this, and I have no idea what it's going to be. And if we've learned anything about Barry, who came on the show last Monday, and he said they were in the mix on the big names, and he said they were going to be active in free agency, and he said they were going to re-sign Soros. If there's anything about Barry Trotz you need to know, it's that this guy is a straight shooter. So what he has to say, Robbie texted me and said, people are asking, are we going to run the Barry Trotz press conference? We will run that, and we will do it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.